A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, white hat hackers carry out ethical hacking on behalf of governments and companies to uncover their system and network vulnerabilities. And they've congregated at HackerOne, the number one hacker-powered crowdsourced security platform. Now, I'm thinking the term ethical hacking is a bit oxymoronic, but we'll find out more from Adam T, who's bug bounty advisor at HackerOne, and Q Tan, an enterprise development lead at HackerOne as well. Guys, thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Awi.
Ethical hacking. Tell us what that means.
Right. So, you know, the traditional concept of a hacker is someone who has malicious intent, right? Somebody who is trying to exploit a certain vulnerability for their own personal gain. But in the case of ethical hacking, what it really is like someone who's a white hat security researcher, someone who's looking to make the internet a safer place by finding and disclosing vulnerabilities to companies around the world and helping them to secure their digital assets before the bad guys get to it.
So in essence, you're doing the same thing, but for different reasons.
Yes, the key distinction here is intent, whether or not they're doing it for good or for malicious intent.
So how did you start out though, Adam?
Oh, well, myself, I started out in the cybersecurity space as a headhunter, and that was where I realized that there was a huge shortage of talent across APAC and in Singapore for cybersecurity talent like penetration testers, incident response analysts. And that made me realize that, you know, there was a better way to solve this problem at scale, right? And that's where I realized that, hey, you know, HackerOne could deliver massive amounts of value to companies across APAC by helping them leverage upon our 250,000 registered white hat hackers.
Mm. What about you, Q? How did you start in all of this?
Yeah, actually...
Were you a black hat? Is they're not called that, are they?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So started in a similar manner to Adam, so in cybersecurity recruitment as well. And what I did realize was there was a huge shortage of cyber talent here in APAC and in the larger scheme of things globally as well. And I think what I realized was there needed to be a way to actually solve this problem by tapping into the international and diverse set of security talent that's available globally. And that's what HackerOne essentially does, being able to leverage on the international and diverse group of cybersecurity experts globally and bring them into security programs that organizations organize to sort of spot vulnerabilities in their systems and assets early on in the process.
Is it a case of more hackers with malicious intent than the white hats, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think in terms of the people that want to do the right thing, there are actually a lot of them that really enjoy using certain services. So, for example, if I'm a person that's buying a lot of stuff online, so I'm an online shopper, and I really like a service, if I spot a vulnerability in a system, I might want to do the right thing because I want to protect other users of the service. And at the same time, you know, if I find something that's a critical bug, I might be rewarded, compensated in a fair manner by the company.
But I'm thinking maybe malicious intent fuels hackers to be one step ahead of white hats to some degree. What do you think? How are you going to stay one step ahead of the bad guys?
Well, I think here, it's important to understand that regardless of what happens, people with malicious intent are always going to be out there and they're always going to be trying to hack and exploit vulnerabilities. Key to success is really to get the good guys to your digital assets first before the bad guys do. So that is where, you know, we really try and come in and educate the general industries and say, you know, hey, you know, here there is a process, a structured process for you to engage the good guys and get them to secure everything before an incident actually happens.
It's like getting criminals to help with the police force to try and catch other criminals, because criminals would be able to think how other criminals would, to some degree, yes?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the old way of doing cybersecurity, if I were to picture it, is to kind of draw a fence, build a fence to keep the criminals out.
But that moat type of thing is no longer relevant. You need a sort of dome type of protection, right?
Exactly. So I think the key pillars that support what we do would be transparency, openness, collaboration. So exactly on point, what you mentioned is to actually invite this white hat ethical hackers into our systems and have them spot these vulnerabilities before the criminals can actually exploit them.
Talk to us about how companies can be assured of security when HackerOne is helping them out, right? You're testing to see the vulnerabilities, their systems are okay or not. How can they be assured, though, during that time that their data is secured?
Okay, I mean, firstly, I think there's no such thing as 100% perfect security.
For sure.
Yeah, but I think in terms of reducing the security, the probability of a security incident, bug bounty program is a true game changer. So what we have done is we've run 1,500 programs worldwide and drastically reduced the amount of the probability of a security incident through discovering thousands of vulnerabilities in systems all around the world.
Talk to us about this bug bounty program. How does it work?
So first and foremost, a bug bounty program is a game changer in the sense that it gives security researchers safe harbor to come in and disclose a vulnerability. If you think about a couple of years back, and you know, you're just a security researcher out there in the open and you found something on a company, you might think twice about whether or not you want to disclose that to the company, because they might turn around and say, hey, you know, who gave you permission to start researching on my assets? You know, you found these vulnerabilities. I'm not comfortable with that. I might call the law enforcement on you, right? But with a bug bounty program, we have a structured process in place whereby the companies that register with us, they agree not to take legal action against any kind of security researcher who comes in and discloses the vulnerabilities in a benign manner. Right. And in fact, they reward them for it. So they pay them sometimes $2,000, $5,000, sometimes upwards of $20,000 for critical vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And so in a sense, in terms of hacker economics, you could actually look at it two ways. One, you could make a lot of money by selling your vulnerability on the black market, but you could also go to jail for that and be on the run for the rest of your life.
Or
two, you know, you could do the right thing, see something, say something, disclose it, be rewarded for it, and actually be recognized internationally. And a lot of companies have hired good hackers in this way.
Scary for an entity to open themselves up to that kind of vulnerability. I know you want to test to make sure your system is okay at least.
Sure. Right.
So how can you reassure companies that we're helping you out, really?
Sure. Okay, here I think it is a good opportunity to take a leaf out of my national service or my military training in the army. We have this thing called progressive training. And in the same way, we do that with the companies, which is that we have a controlled launch whereby, you know, you don't invite straight up 250,000 hackers into your program. You start with 5 and then you move to 10. And then as your internal security teams, your engineering teams get used to the process, right, we start to gradually scale this up as we build out progressively their internal defense systems.
Do you think some hackers out there actually turn their lives around, become white hats as well?
Yeah. If anything, this is the best way, you know, to provide them with a safe and secure way to actually engage with large corporations at scale. You know, sometimes we say that, oh, we're based in Singapore, we don't have job or employment opportunities with the Fortune 500 or the top 50 unicorns in Silicon Valley. This is one of the best ways to get there because, you know, just sat at home here in Singapore, you could be doing research on Twitter, on Grab, on Uber, right? And all these disclosures that you are making, you know, the companies recognize the work that's being done. And that gives you that opportunity to display your talent on a global scale.
That you don't have opportunities is a little weird because earlier you said there is such a lack for cybersecurity personnel and talent. So I imagine the opportunities come flying at you, wouldn't they, Q?
Yeah, I think if I were a student or perhaps somebody that wanted to get into a market such as cybersecurity, what I'll start doing is to look at some of the work that other researchers have done. So I think on the HackerOne platform, we actually put a lot of resources into actually helping the white hat security researchers learn from one another. So we have environments by which they can look at videos, look at tutorials for them to actually upskill themselves. And in terms of being able to profile themselves in front of the potential employers worldwide, and we're talking about like the Fortune 500, those in the Forbes magazine. If I were a researcher that found a critical bug that's worth say $50,000, that's really good for my profile. And because the whole system is really built in a way where it's gamified, and there's a bit of a competitive spirit or competition going on, people really learn off and thrive off that competition with one another. So it's a really good way of being able to profile myself in front of a potential employer. And we do see some of our top hackers being recruited as well, being set in-house now with some of the companies that have been launching bug bounty programs with us.
Who do you think is to blame for the bad reputation hackers have? The media? movies.
I think it's very glamorized,
I have to say, the unethical hacking, right?
Yeah. I think this is a favorite one of mine. I always make this joke. So I think people always think that the concept of a hacker would be a guy sat in a dark room with a black hoodie. Yeah. But actually, they're just
to be fair,
like,
Adam's wearing a black hoodie. How like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
yeah. I would have come in an orange hoodie, but I just don't have one at home right now.
It's a stereotype that hackers are always malicious. Some of them simply want to do the right thing, improve the service that they really love, make the internet a safer place for all of us, and that's really what I think.
Yeah, if you just meet them up in real life, they just pretty much look like normal people like you and me.
Just in the requisite black hoodie.
Yeah, maybe just in the hoodie, but also they also have their hopes and their dreams, the thing they want to achieve in life and all that. And I think there's a lot of too much hype on the malicious side of things, but the guys who are actually really doing the good security work, you know, they're not being given that airtime and they're not given that kind of opportunity to be seen in the limelight. And that's also why, you know, we do the work that we do and we love our job, because we like to work for these kids who don't have a thing except for a dream and a security research magazine.
Mm. But the thing is, though, technology was supposed to help humankind, make everything easier, but it's also brought up all of these other things to the point where you need to have white hat hackers, because there are hackers with malicious intent. Might we do better in a simpler time where there was no technology? Then no more job for Q and Adam, of course, but...
Yeah, but I think to answer that question seriously, I think the internet and the advent of technology has brought around great opportunity for both, like, the businesses to make money out of it, and also for us to improve our own lives in terms of the convenience it provides. But that brings around challenges as well, and that's unavoidable. Like Adam alluded to earlier on, there's no such thing as perfect software, perfect system, or, you know, perfect security for that matter. So I think in order to sort of solve the challenges today, working in the spirit of collaboration, transparency and openness with one another is a much better way to solve the challenges for security in particular.
Adam T is bug bounty advisor at HackerOne. Q Tan, also joining us, enterprise development lead at HackerOne. You can check them out, HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com. Gents, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.